Well, welcome everybody to Wednesday night's Women's Bible Study. I have Karen and Megan with me. Hello, ladies.
Good evening, Robin.
Hi, Rob.
How are you guys?
I'm doing all right.
We're all recovering from a busy and wonderful weekend, each in our own way. For which I praise the Lord. So we'll be right back with you. It is Wednesday night, and Megan and I had a quick and wonderful trip down to South Carolina last weekend, and we actually left Thursday, the morning after last Wednesday, and I got back Monday night, so I think we're on the recovery mode. It says the music's still playing, but I have it as off.
I just took care of it, Robin. You go ahead and do what you're doing.
Okay. So, it was great to be down there. Megan very kindly took the children and me down to James and Rose's wedding. And I am truly grateful. So, welcome, guys.
It's good to be back. It's good to be here.
Yes, it is.
So we're actually finishing 1 Thessalonians tonight, and I welcome everybody. Did either of you have anything you wanted to say before we start with verse 23 of chapter 5?
I'm all set, Robin.
Okay.
Ta-da.
So Karen, would you read verse 23 and verse 24?
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it.
Amen. You know, this verse 23 comes after this chapter was instructive. You know, last week we talked about rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. And I remember one of the things that actually Davey had put in the chat is one of the ways we can do that is to not obey its leading. Despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and then you enter into verse 23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And you know, it's interesting because that very God, I mean, that's a pretty extraordinary statement because it's talking about the Almighty God. The God of the universe, the only true God, the God of peace, that cessation of war and that rest from our works and the entrance into his work. That very God, sanctify us wholly, sanctify you wholly. That's to purify or to consecrate us wholly. And here then we have Paul. Now he's praying for the readers of this book. He wrote it to the Thessalonians, but he wrote it to all who will hear and believe. And he prays God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know that Well, that word, sanctify you wholly, I wanted to let you know that that meant absolutely perfect, complete to the end. It is a finished work that it speaks to there. And that you're, that he prays God, so he lifts us up unto God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that, that word preserved there, yes, Davey wrote in the chat, if you think about it, he, the very God, is the only God that offers peace. And that is very true. And it is the only peace. But that word preserved, you know, I always, when I read that word, I always think of, I think of canning. You know, you preserve tomatoes, or you you put it up so that it doesn't go bad, so to speak. But when I looked it up, not that that isn't true, and I don't know if either of you happened to look it up, it was kind of an interesting definition, because the very beginning of it is a watch, or to guard from loss or injury, by keeping the eye upon. And I know last night they were talking about sheepdogs a little bit. And I have been, and Karen, you were with me when we went to the Sheep and Wool Festival, and we saw, I think you were still there when we watched the sheepdog trials.
Yes.
Do you remember that? Because the thing that was so striking about the sheepdog trials is that you had the shepherd who, by very subtle instruction, it might be a whistle, it might be the movement of his, like, staff, it might be a word. It was not loudly spoken, it was softly spoken, but he was watching the sheep, and he gave instruction to his dog as to what to do. And so the dog, in listening to the shepherd, kept watch over the sheep, so to speak. He kept them where they needed to be. And it's really a rather beautiful picture, because you see a Heavenly Father who, if he knows you, watches over you. And he has those who are attentive to him, who are faithful to him, who are looking and listening for his instruction, that when he gives it, they then do it. And the sheep under their care are kept. And that's what this is talking about, is that being preserved blameless, being kept. And it is an interaction between God, his faithful servants, and a people who keep his word. Part of that word is that obedience to those who are God's faithful servants, or those who have the rule over us. It is an obedience to his word in total. And in doing that, this scripture comes to pass and becomes true. The very God of peace sanctifies us wholly, or completes that work completely and to the end, where we are then absolutely perfect in him through obedience to his word. And it says there, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Davy said, "You are preserved blameless by the covering of the blood of Jesus by faith." That's the keeping of the word, isn't it? In the end, is to believe on Him whom God hath sent. All of these other things are aspects of that, aren't they? If you
have
love
a question,
me, you will keep my commandments. Go ahead.
My question is, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. The spirit and soul there being individual and the body being the church itself, as opposed to your natural body?
Well, and Karen, did you want to say anything to that? Because that's a good question.
Actually a question I was going to wonder about, because what did it mean by body? Did it mean the church?
We've recently... Okay, Davey answered it. Yes, body, church, and Christ. So
yes, that way
answer.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Hold on. Sorry, had to cough.
That's okay.
That was what I had thought. But it's just following on here. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And then the body part being preserved blameless. If that is perhaps also, going with that, abstaining from all appearance of evil. I further the question.
Yeah, that's a... I think... And Davey is gonna add into here, so we will get this right. But I think verse 23 is speaking a little differently than abstain from all appearance of evil, because there is an aspect whereby our testimony, that conversation in the world speaks volumes. And as we all know, one of Cheryl's favorite sayings, and I can't help but attribute it to her, is that our conversation ministers the gospel, and sometimes we use words. And so I would look at 22, abstain from all appearance of evil, in that kind of a sense, where, our actions speak louder than words. And whereas this is that preservation in the body of Christ, as Davey said, by the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ by faith. I think that's speaking to a different thing. And he wrote, I believe the church should abstain from all appearance of evil. Yep. Yep. Amen. Having thus said, I'm going to ask you, Davey, are you saying that abstain from all appearance of evil is in accordance with, picketing abortion clinics and causing riots is not doing that? Yeah, just as an example. One thing I have been thinking about, for some reason, I periodically think about it, but the last week or the last few days a lot, is that sense in which we are ambassadors from the kingdom of God in the kingdom of this world. We are not of this world, but we are representatives in this world of another kingdom. And I think I may have said it last week in the United States, and I suppose it's in other countries where we exchange embassies and ambassadors, other countries' citizens who are here in that in that position are not subject to our laws and actually get away with things they ought not to. I'm assuming American ambassadors have that same kind of covering. And yet God's ambassadors are called to a higher standard. And we should abstain from all appearance of evil and give a good testimony. Then, people will, then our words will not be hypocritical, but actually be in agreement then with our actions. You know what I mean?
Yes. And those that are drawn to the Lord will be drawn to you through that conversation. Is that right?
Well, that's a good question. I hadn't thought about it that way. Mika, do you want to chime in there?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question?
this is school.
I just thought of this, but I don't know if it's right or not. If someone is going to be drawn to the Lord, they'll be drawn to you as you're going through with your conversation that you have being a citizen of the kingdom of God.
They can be. I mean, no one comes to the Father but the Spirit draw them, and the Spirit's going to draw them to someone who's got the answer.
That scripture came to mind.
So your question was answered?
Yes, thank you.
I would say that a person whose walk reflects the truth when they speak the truth and when they have an opportunity to give testimony to what you guys are kind of talking about and that it is believable. We have a reason for our hope. So when the opportunity arises to be able to give voice to that hope, there is nothing to negate it.
It also goes back to the last verse of Mark 16. When we go forth and preaching everywhere, the Lord works with us, confirming the word with signs following. So you, when there's an opportunity to preach the gospel, you preach it, and it may not necessarily hit fertile ground at that time, but in time to come, the Lord is able to remind somebody of one of his who had brought the message and confirm it to be true.
Yes, and whether or not they receive it now, they may receive it some other time, but they're drawn to the signs following that person that's preaching the gospel. They're drawn to that either immediately or maybe later on.
Sure.
Well, you figure that word is there to be quickened, which is, I believe, what you are both saying, to be brought back to remembrance and to be called upon. That, for me, I always like to make sure if I minister the gospel to somebody who doesn't know the Lord that to make sure the name of Jesus is spoken as the important name. And Davey wrote in the chat, he says, I was just thinking another form of evil, looking at the abstaining from all appearance of evil, could be agreeing with those things of the world that are not right in God's sight. That is very true. And it is the very thing that should distinguish us, that we don't that we don't join and agree to that which is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, when you look at it, Paul knew nothing but Jesus Christ crucified. And Jesus himself, when the rich young ruler came to him and said, "Good master, what must I do to be saved?
Inherit eternal life, was it?
Is that what it was? Okay.
I'll tell you.
And while you look that up, the first thing Jesus said was, "Why callest thou me good?" And the world calls so many things good, including people. It was kind of interesting. Did you find it yet, Megan?
Yes. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Or what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Matthew 19:16 and Mark 10:17 and Luke 18:18.
In all four Gospels?
Three.
You know, I was talking with a coworker yesterday, and I forget what exactly had happened, but something had happened that surprised her because somebody hadn't done what... Oh, I know what it was. She used to work for Chittenden Bank, and she's very involved in the Barrie kind of business community. And so, you know, she sees a lot of the good deeders, so to speak, the people that are doing all the right things in that sense. And one of them, while she was working at Chittenden, who had loans with them, just walked away from them and just defaulted on all the loans. And she was talking about how she just couldn't have imagined. And I said to her, I said, "Well, you know, I can imagine that." I said, "And the reason is I know man isn't good. You actually believe man is good, you know." And I did talk to her about the Lord a little. And it was really interesting because she is so entrenched in her own mind on this kind of vain philosophy that almost like what we think of as the Indian concept of this great spirit who's just out there and he loves us and all. Of course, the Indian, American Indian, that, you know, they... There was a lot of evil that went on in those tribes, child sacrifice, all sorts of different things. But we had this kind of rosy look upon them. And she kind of partakes of that. I mean, she'll tell you that that's the mindset she has. And when you minister the gospel to her, it reminds me of when Davey and Steve and others have told... Some of us, we've heard this, that when you minister to a Catholic, you might be saying the same words, and they might be agreeing with your words, but the words mean something different to you both. And that was what it was like yesterday. She was hearing it in the concept of how she thinks. And I know she... I don't believe she heard me, but who knows? You know, and like you were saying, it's there to be quickened, or at a later date, maybe. It would be a wonderful thing.
It would be. It may come back someday. Never know.
It may. Yeah. There is this wonderful aspect in Thessalonians, and we noted this in the beginning, that this was a body who were in Christ Jesus. It's the only letter written to a group, not Colossians, not Philippians, not Galatians, not Corinthians, not Ephesians, but the Thessalonians, who were found to be in Christ Jesus. And we also know that wonderful statement of where Paul acknowledges their election of God, which is a very interesting term, because we're in an election year, and these are a people that chose, you know, they made that choice, and they chose God as their Lord, not earthly things, but heavenly things, and Jesus being Lord. And we know that they are a picture and a people in the Church of Philadelphia who God has promised in Revelation 3 that he will take them out before the time of tribulation that will come upon the earth. And so when you see this kind of prayer and exhortation, it is spoken to a people who are those people whom the Lord has promised, because they have entered in, as Davy said, into that place where they are blameless because of being washed by the blood of the Lamb, and that only. And so when you read this verse in the context of that promise and that victory of God that these people are waiting for, and you read verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is coming, and that day is so much sooner than it was at the writing of this. And when you look at that word body, as it's now been clarified, and this body of Christ that this letter is written to, it is really a beautiful scripture, isn't it? And then that verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And that word faithful is, you know, he's trustworthy. And one of the most beautiful pictures of trusting the faithfulness of God to me, and there's a lot of them, I mean, every believer in the Old and New Testament who the Lord shone a light on as examples for us are those who believed that God was faithful in that which he said he would perform it. And here is a scripture that states this. But I was thinking about the testimony of Sarah, who, because she judged God faithful, who had promised, and that promise there, I believe, and this is in Hebrews 11, is Isaac. We should really just go look so I don't get that wrong. I never really talked about it from this vantage point. It's Hebrews 11. Yeah. It says 11:11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because, this is why this occurred in Sarah's life, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And God had promised Abraham that through him all nations would be blessed, looking really towards Jesus. And then when she was 89 years old, after having been barren through her entire childbearing years, and then had gone through menopause, she was no longer a woman who could bear a child in any way. Nevertheless, because God had said she would, and because she believed God and judged him faithful, because of that, and this is the most beautiful thing, therefore sprang there even of one, meaning Abraham, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. That occurred, yes, because she judged him faithful. And Davy wrote, it took her a while to get there, but she did. And Isn't that a wonderful and hopeful thing? We're not bound by where we are. But going back to Thessalonians there, you know, that sanctify, consecrate, purify, holy, that is not speaking of a finished work. That's speaking of a work that shall occur. And we see the testimony of that with Paul, who in his letters speaks of not having yet apprehended the gospel fully, not having gotten there perfectly to having done so. And we know Peter came to that point. We know all the faithful people in Christ Jesus do. All of them do. And if you go back to Philippians, actually, which is Philippians 1, I think. Yeah, 6. And I'm just going to go back up and I'm going to start from... I'll just read down from the beginning. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always, every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I don't know if there's much more beautiful thing than that.
It is. It gives us so much hope, doesn't it?
It does. Go ahead.
Well, we have the Bible to read and to see his faithfulness in the lives of others. But we also, you know, the Lord draws us to himself. The Spirit draws us. And when we come to him, he leaves us with a testimony in our own lives of his faithfulness, that we can know that it is true and that he is true. And so we are not without a witness of that in our own lives, if we will actually take the time to look at it and see it and remember it.
And it's we have to come to him, like you said. It's our choice that we make to do that, because without doing that, you know, where are we going to be?
You guys are kind of talking about that he's given us all things that we need unto life and godliness, including just the testimony of his presence and his love for us. But it's where we have to really put off all of those things, that sin that doth so easily beset us, and the doubts and the unbelief. And we all are different in our what we fall into, and what we have to battle. But it is a choice to believe him over everything else. And one of the things that's the hardest is really the testimony of our flesh. I know Steve said something interesting last night, and I think it was particularly interesting to me because of something that had occurred earlier in the week, and it just kind of sat upon it. And that was where in Timothy 3, the last two verses, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And, you know, we don't need anything else. We don't need anything else. Now, I mean, when I say that, God comes alongside us, and God is the author and finisher of faith and all, but he has given us his word whereby we can battle all that is not of him. It goes back up to what Davey wrote about agreeing with those things of the world that are not right in God's sight. You know, it's by the word of God that we do battle against things and hold on to that which is true. And I know in Philippians, Paul said too, and I was looking at this today too, he said in chapter 4, starting with verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And it really goes along with, I mean, that's that very God of peace who will sanctify us wholly, and who Paul prayed that our whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we should turn back to John 17. And Megan, if you wouldn't mind reading when you get there, if you'd read verses 11 through 15.
"And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil."
Go ahead and read the next couple of verses.
"They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Keep going.
Yeah, because you're going to get down there if you read through 21.
"Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me."
And the next verses, I apologize, me.
"And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me."
Thank you. You know, right then, Paul wasn't present with, you know, Jesus. But Paul was one whom this prayer was for, who Jesus sent. And we like the Church of Thessalonians, are those who heard and enter into that prayer ourselves because of that. You know, I pray not for them, but also those who will hear. And I already closed. Let me go back there because... neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And that's what we are doing. And then when you go back and you see Philippians, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You see that performed there. And it continues to be performed in all who will hear. And obey the word of God. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And that goes back, who also will do it, to what Davy said about Sarah. It took her a while to get there, but she did. It might take us a while to get there, but faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. Who can separate us from the love of God? Only us, right? And then verse 25 there, Karen.
Brethren, pray for us.
Yeah. You know, we talked about this before, pray without ceasing. And I know it was brought up last night where... I think in Colossians also, but in Ephesians where Paul's, you know, prays that utterance will be given. In Ephesians, I think it says, pray that utterance would be given unto him that he may boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which he is an ambassador in bonds. In Colossians, it says something similar, though not exactly. But we need one another's prayers, and we need to lift up those who labor in the word, that they are sustained and blessed and kept and strengthened, not only to continue in it and the long suffering that it requires, but also, you know, what did it say in Ephesians, that utterance be given unto me, that just that very thing, that the word of God, you know, that God gives them utterance, his utterance, that they may boldly proclaim the word of God. And when you look at it that way, you can understand why this word that we read from Genesis to Revelations is the utterance of God that was spoken and then recorded by those who he gave it to, who were faithful, who he could trust, and who did put it down faithfully. And that bringing of his word and that performance of his word and that preaching of his word is the same always. It is authored by God, and faithful men and women then bring it. And it's always in agreement with this written word that has been tried as silver in a furnace. Peter calls it the more sure word of prophecy. Is that what it is? Is that how he put it?
I believe it is.
Yeah. So, you know, Paul asked for prayer for he and Timotheus and Silvanus, and we have amongst us God's apostles today and those who labor, and we need to be prayerful one for another and for those who are over us and labor in the word, that the Lord will keep them and that their word will be rightly divided. So, Karen, you can go ahead and read through the end there.
Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
So, greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. Do either of you have anything you'd like to say on that one? No?
I don't. I'll defer to you, Robin, on that one.
Megan, did you have anything you wanted to say on it?
Not specifically. I mean, you know, that in some cultures it is a tradition or a cultural thing to kiss each other on the cheek. You know, the French do it, like, both sides and back to the first side and have
and
your...
the Italians.
There's obviously a difference. I would guess it's the kind of kiss that a brother and a sister might share.
Yeah. That's how I was looking at it. You know, in our culture, it's not really... We don't do that. We might give a person a hug. But here's, you know, and as you say, as brethren, and in acknowledgement and love, you know, I would even say in, you know, that we don't do things lightly.
It's also, you know, Judas was able to give Jesus a kiss because he was close to him, therefore he was allowed to come into his space, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, this is, it's a, I don't know, I mean, it's like giving, we would give a hug for us.
Yes. And
but
it means something.
Yes, it's, indeed.
It does. I know that it does, because I know that we are aware when we hug that we're doing it. It's not light.
And holy kiss. So that means just among the brethren that you're close with each other in the Lord.
Yeah.
Not something for everybody.
Discerning the body, so to speak.
Yeah.
And Gail read in the chat, I believe she looked it up in Strong's, physically pure, morally blameless. So that goes back to, Megan, what you said about, like, brother and sister. So, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. So, leave nobody out. Make sure all have the opportunity to hear it and do so. It's not for one person and not another. It's for all the brethren.
And a charge is a commandment.
Amen.
And it's for the brethren. It's for those who are faithful in Thessalonica.
Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So be it. And that is that grace by which we stand. Which one of the most beautiful scriptures to me too is where Paul exhorts Timothy to be strong in the grace of God. It's one mighty tool by which we fight all the accusations and condemnation and lies and deceits of the devil. And it's the grace by which we stand. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
It's also a nice way to end it, just, you know, reminding them that that is how they come to be faithful. That is how we come to be in the body, is by the grace of the Lord.
It's how we started the book. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And basically that's how he ends it. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And you know, we can hear this word directly to us too. We have read this epistle. There is a God who is faithful, that has called us, who also will do it, who will perform that good work which he hath begun in you until the day of Jesus Christ. His grace be with you. And that is a mighty exhortation for us to take away this night, that notwithstanding our failings or our struggles, that we can know that this is the will of God for us, and we can receive it, and we can war a good warfare and fight that fight of faith, knowing the sufficiency of the blood of the Lamb and the faithfulness of God, who is with us and will perform it, and learn to trust him and judge him faithful, who has promised, even as those who have gone before us did too. Geez, Abraham believed God to the point that he withheld nothing from him and knew the end, because he knew what God said and he believed him. He actually believed God didn't lie to him. He didn't lie to us either. His blood was sufficient to wash all of us and to grant us entrance into his body. And so I do pray that we will walk in the knowledge of that, index ourselves in the knowledge of that, and go forth and minister the gospel in our daily walk as we seek to serve him in all things and keep our hearts and minds stayed upon him, knowing that he is well able to strengthen us and bring to pass those things that are needful for us. Diligence, perseverance, long-suffering, love. And may we exhort one another unto the same victory in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So we have about 5 minutes. Do you all have something that occurred with you all this week that would be a blessing to the rest of us?
Well, I was able to minister something to someone that actually I had gone through this past week, so it was just a wonderful thing to be able to do. And I'll just leave it at that.
Amen. Well, cool. Well, Megan, if you don't have anything further to say, I'm going to go ahead and we can say goodnight, and I'll put the Petra song in.
Sure.
And thank you, everybody, who has come and joined us, and Karen for sharing that. And God bless everyone. And we'll see you next week, and we'll start 2 Thessalonians. So good night, and God bless.
God bless.